Soccer Cyclone!
Hello, 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 and thank you so much for pressing play on the latest episode of the Michigan Soccer Central Podcast, your weekly dip into the world's gaming, played right here in the Great Lakes state of Michigan. How's it going? My name is Robert Kerr, host of the program once again. Big weekend in the rearview mirror. The calendar is starting to turn here, getting deep into July. That means the summer league season is kind of wrapping up. We're recording here on Tuesday, July 18th, coming off the back of the USL League 2 season finale, which was also on my birthday, so it made for a pretty epic weekend. We're going to check in on some Midwest Premier League action in a little bit, because that actually had a big result as we're recording, but I've got my very good friend and Oakland County FC Supporters Trust co-director with me to rehash the epic final day of the season in USL League 2. Mr. Luke Zagorski, thank you for joining me here on the Michigan Soccer Central Podcast, friend.
Utter delight, Rob. Utter delight.
Like I said, this weekend was the final weekend of the USL League 2. Unfortunately, it was a bit of a roller coaster week. We can't really talk about Sunday without the week that was. So last Saturday, Oakland County defeated Kalamazoo 4-3 to be in the conversation for the second and final playoff spot. Flint City Bucks, kudos to them. They ran away with someone ran the table and they got that first spot. Second spot up for grabs. Oakland County beat Kalamazoo. So two games remaining, both against Ann Arbor, and Ann Arbor is a direct competitor for that second place. So the high is the high feeling last Saturday in that 4-3 win over Kalamazoo. And you and I both went to Ann Arbor midweek. We avoided the rain, but we headed straight into a 2-0 defeat. So Wednesday, AFC Ann Arbor got their first USL 2 playoff berth. And we were sad-hearted, it's fair to say. But Sunday, the final game of the season, we welcome the same AFC Ann Arbor. Not the same starting lineup on Sunday in Royal Oak. Oakland County FC, his final home game. It was Sunday. All the games in USL 2 Great Lakes Division had already played on Saturday. So it was basically Oakland County, if they won or got a draw, they would get third place, the highest non-playoff seeded team. And obviously, fair enough, it would be Oakland County's highest finish if they got that third. And it was a pretty epic Sunday finale of the season. Kind of walk us through your experience of it. I was on the play-by-play, so I had a far different experience. You're down in the stands. Kind of tell us how your Oakland County FC 2023 finale kind of played out.
Well, it was terrific, honestly. All the new faces all coming together. You know, we made some new friends in the Elmwood Elite over the season. A couple of the old guard came back to get back involved, and we added some new members along the way, and you know, pretty much everybody was in on Sunday. We were ready to go out with a bang. As you know, Rob, we had our home base, Zioli's restaurant, on standby for after the game. We were always going to go out in style, win or lose, but you know, it was easy to assume that Ann Arbor were going to come out lethargic, and you know, not lethargic as such, but you know, with a weakened lineup, you know, rest the big guys for the playoffs and, you know, play the scrubs and just kind of go through the motions and all that kind of stuff. But that did not happen. They were up 2-0 at halftime and they were playing really well. And our guys didn't really, I don't think they really knew what they were supposed to do in terms of, do we go for it? Do we try? Or do we just kind of, you know, do our thing and just kind of let it happen? There was the feeling that we were kind of rolling over and going out with a whimper, and that really sucked.
Halftime was tough. I came down and hung out for, you know, a few minutes at halftime, and it was down 2-0 in that final game. It was a tough feeling.
We were all quite grumpy, but I don't know what was said in the locker room at halftime. Our captain, Big Mike, must have said something, because we came out looking a lot better. Again, it would be easy to assume that Ann Arbor would have, you know, taking their foot off the proverbial gas in the second half and just kind of gone through the motions. And that's why the result ended up being what it was, but it really wasn't like that. The guys came out really motivated and really pushing the agenda in the second half. And amazing game. Mike Mellorani in his last ever start, last ever game for Oakland County after a five-year career, goes out with a hat trick. You know, injury time headed winner off of a corner to win the game for us. I mean, it was, I don't know, it was like FIFA stuff. You know, I've never had a moment like that in person where you know, the game was dead and buried, and all of a sudden this guy just takes the team on his shoulders and just shows them how it's done. It's always been Big Mike, as you know, Rob. He's always been our, you know, our capo, our talisman, our, you know, big tree up front to provide service to and let him do the rest. And it was a wonderful send off, end of an era, and I'll never forget that. There's a couple of clips floating around the interwebs about, you know, of his celebration at the end. Somebody threw him a big purple, what we would politely describe as a pimp hat, and he put it on amidst the clouds of purple smoke, as per usual. And it was a moment. It was a moment I'll never forget, especially that third goal, especially the winner. And then we all got together at Zioli's afterwards and said goodbye to the season, announced our Player of the Year, which is, again, Big Mike, obviously. And it's you know, it was one of those bittersweet moments, Rob. You know, another season in the books, and you know, a lot of fresh memories and a lot of shared experiences, good and bad. And it ended the way that we all hoped it would. You know, and onwards and upwards for next year.
Yeah, we share our passions for Oakland County FC, and it's kind of wild. We lament the long off season, but I don't know if my heart can take a full length season of it, because I mean, it is a whole whirlwind, a whole season packed into like 2.5-3 months, and it's a whirlwind.
Absolutely, it is.
From the highs of last Saturday against Kalamazoo, the low of Wednesday out in Ann Arbor, and then the very best silver lining on Sunday for you know, the talisman player, kind of like marks the era, whether he was healthy or injured, was always, you know, involved in there with the team. And then for his possibly his last game, or at least in the sequence of, you know, graduating college and then playing one more season, and then to, yeah, score a second half hat trick to win the game to earn his club's top finish in a season is pretty incredible. Oakland County FC finished the season 5-4-3. First season to be above 500, actually, in any league, and across the leagues, they've been formerly UPSL and the Great Lakes Premier League, but third in the USL2, only bested by AFC Ann Arbor, with 1 point ahead. And then, like we said at the top, Flint City Bucks running away with it with 31 points. So yeah, it was Flint at the top, 31 points, Ann Arbor with 19, Oakland County with 18. And then Lansing, they were better than their first year on 16. The surprise of the season, Kalamazoo with a sixth place finish. And then it's been commented on quite a bit, but South Bend Lions, the newcomer to the division, finishing winless with just the 3 points.
Yeah, I really feel for the South Bend fans. They'll come back. They'll be fine. Rough year for all kinds of internal reasons, but they'll be all right. They'll come back next year.
Yeah, because Oakland County FC, I mean, you know, young team trying to build history, and they're up against some strong opponents. Kalamazoo, two-time Great Lakes Division winners. Surprising, they didn't have their complete team through the season, so they never, you know, they had some good performances, but it took, you know, three straight losses, I think, at the beginning of the year, so they never quite recovered from that. And then, but I thought South Bend were going to be real challengers, and then they went to be the cellar dwellers, which is a surprise, but AFC Ann Arbor did just enough, and then obviously Flint City Bucks walking away from it. So if you were to sum up the season, obviously it seems fair. It would have been harsh to take a loss there and finish fourth or fifth for Oakland County. Third place, probably a fair finish, just above, you know, one win above 500. Probably seems fair on the balance of the year.
I would say so. And let's not forget, Rob, I don't mean to be critical about any other organization at this level. I really don't, you know, all respect to Flint. You know, they do things their own way and they're happy doing it. And, you know, it makes the ownership and the fans happy. But even at this amateur level or pre-professional level, as we prefer to call it, there are levels to this, right? Ann Arbor and Flint, especially Flint, you know, Flint, Ann Arbor and Kalamazoo, they have a wider network than us. They have more resources than us. OCFC are on the smaller side of a USL2 outfit. And sometimes that shows in terms of the depth of roster that we have and, you know, the training time that our players get. You know, we can't sort of commit the same resource level to the operation that some of the other teams around the country and even in our own division can. So there's no shame in finishing, you know, a couple of lengths behind an outfit like Flint and Ann Arbor as well. They've got a great organization and there's really no shame getting pipped to the post by them. You know, OCFC are growing this thing. Our day will come. It's coming. We've got a lot of aces in the hole for next year, Rob. And let's talk about that real quick. We've got some fantastic youngsters coming through. The Hodgson twins, the much vaunted Hodgson twins. They haven't even been to college yet. They just got out of high school.
They did one year Western.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm way off on that.
They played all the games. They were great.
There you go. As freshmen. I'm bowled over. I didn't know that. I thought they were out of high school. I think I'm thinking of somebody else. The young right back stud that's good buddies with them. But middle staff. You know. Oh, what a player. What a little player for as young as he is, you know. We've got him. We've got the Hodgson twins who were just dumped into running our midfield almost every game this year. They did fantastically. They almost had a little bit of telepathy at certain points of the season. They grew up playing together, so they knew each other inside and out. They knew each other's tendencies and habits, and they did terrifically. Young Alec Markovsky has got a great chance of being our new big Mike. He's going to be hopefully is in with a shot of getting the number 9 jersey, so to speak, next year. We've got a young goalkeeper. I mean, we've got some resources. We've got some promising youngsters at Braxton Opportunity. You know, we've got some great young guys coming through, and we get closer to the promised land every single year. And I wouldn't be surprised if next year was our year. I really wouldn't.
Adding to their accolades, I'm scanning Flint City Bucks to see when their playoff game is, and I see that they are the Gerhard Mengel Cup champions. They beat DA 2-1 2 days ago, so congrats for another trophy in the cabinet. I do know that AFC Ann Arbor will be headed to Des Moines, Iowa to play the one of the powerhouses of the league, Des Moines Menace, on Friday night. So courage to them on their journey there. Obviously, they had a few playoff battles and journeys in NPSL, but as they announced at the game last Wednesday, this was their first berth to the USL2 playoffs after getting pipped to a berth last year by the same Flint City Bucks.
Absolutely. I'm sorry we're missing that game. I would have loved to have been on the road with OCFC. I've got some friends in Iowa and it would have been nice to, you know, collide, you know, worlds collide, right? Get to see my buddies in Iowa and see the Purple Gang at the same time. Not to be. Next time.
Well, I mean, Oakland County, to stay on them for a bounce back to them for a minute. I mean, it is incremental gains. I mean, seriously, the last three seasons, USL2, it's been like, one win better and one place better. And, you know, for a few days, we were in the shop window for a big jump, but it ended up being, like I said, the best silver lining we could ask, you know, got another position better, highest finish, first win over our first season finish over the 500 mark. So a delightful season in the books. And then I guess we, as always, soccer turns a page. We've got a Women's World Cup and then Detroit City FC will kind of readjust the visors and see what they're up to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, summer season in the books, but some Midwest Premier League still in action. We received word right before we started recording that Inter Detroit got a late winner against the Michigan Jaguars in Midwest Premier League action. So Inter Detroit raised the trophy as the Midwest Premier League Great Lakes East Division winner, and they will face the Great Lakes West Division winner in a championship game, and that's still to be decided. The West Michigan Bearings in the lead jumped out in the standings there, but they've played all their games. Lansing Common, two games in hand, so it's come down to the last week, and so Midwest Premier League still going, and you have a little bit more to say about the West Division than the East. How's that look, and what was the game against the Bearings? Did you watch that one either?
Which game against the Bearings? Livonia City. My second passion in the Metro Detroit area is the Livonia City operation up the Wheats. Our good buddy Ben Rohde is head honcho down there, and had a pretty good year. They're not going to make the playoffs, unfortunately, but West Michigan Bearings are a very worthy champion. They really are. If that's the way it happens, which it's looking like it's going to, it really, really is. And they're a quality outfit. They've got some depth. They've got a good coaching staff. And
they went out to a hot, by the way. They hopped out to a hot start in their first year last year, and then kind of got cooled and overtaken at the end. But they're finished early, but definite front runners going into this last week.
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't like to be on the hot seat trying to figure out a winner between Bearings and Inter. You know, it's one of those head says this, heart says that things, I think.
But it would also, for storyline's sake, it would be pretty incredible if Lansing Common was to drive and win the West, and then create a rematch of last summer's epic between Inter Detroit and Lansing.
Yeah, that would be something. That would be something, all right. There's so many decent teams in the West. I mean, there's good teams in the East as well, but the West, for me, it was, you've got guys like BIH and Tulip City right in the middle, who are very, very capable of capitalizing on their local talent and springing a win on any given day. It's just a really cool division. You've got so many cool teams. You know, you've got Holland and Tulip City. You know, you've got the much vaunted Lansing Common, who Livonia are actually on the road to this coming weekend. I'm going to try to make it out there. It'll be my first Lansing Common home game. I've always been curious. They draw a pretty good crowd for Midwest Premier level, and that should be a good one. Yeah, I love this. I love Great Lakes West. I really do. So many cool teams in that league.
For the folks that follow the local lower league action, I believe Lansing Common midweek and then at the weekend are the remaining games. So something to still fight for. The intensity is ratcheted up here, and Inter Detroit beat the Michigan Jaguars 3-2 with it looks like an 87th minute winner. So Inter Detroit getting that East division, and I'm going to just take a pot shot here recording live. I'm going to call Eddie Jimenez, my contact over there running Inter Detroit. So, I'm going to give him a buzz and see if he picks up and see if we can't talk to him right after, winning a division. Got to say, won the division last year. Repeat winners. Mm-hmm. I one of the first keystone memories of Oakland County FC is when Inter Detroit came visit us at Clawson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, many moons ago. Feels like a lifetime ago.
So no luck there.
Never mind. Hey, big up to Troy United, by the way. Their first year in the East Division, they finished. They're going to finish right in the middle of the table, and that's always something to build off of. So good luck. Well done to them.
I am happy for them that they end up getting some results, because they had a tough start.
Yeah, they did, though. They really did. Bless them. Yeah, but onwards and upwards. Great, great little organization. They'll go a long way.
So that is the USL League Two Great Lakes Division regular season sorted. Ann Arbor and Flint moving on into the USL playoffs this upcoming weekend. So. And in Midwest Premier League, and in this various other leagues that you can go to at MI Soccer Central across social media platforms if you want to catch up on the UWS and the UPSL and the various other summer leagues. At MI Soccer Central has got it covered. But we hit a little Midwest Premier League and definitely went in on Oakland County FC and USL 2 here locally. And I got some good stuff lined up. I'm going to talk to a very prolific voice in women's soccer here in Michigan, and we're going to talk Women's World Cup. So we'll have a bonus episode this week. And then I think I'm going to get a local sports writer to talk Detroit City FC next week. So Luke Zagorski, super fan and fellow lover of Oakland County FC, and a man I'm proud to call a friend, Luke Zagorski, thank you so much for joining me here on the Michigan Soccer Central podcast.
Join me, Jersey Rob.
Yeah. This is Peterborough Posh, my local when I was in middle school in England. And our guest this week was so kind to and thoughtful enough to get it for me. So thank you once again. That was an early birthday present, right?
I just found it on the street, Rob. I swear it was in the gutter. Amazing coincidence. Who knew?
Well, thank you, listener, for joining us for another episode of Michigan Soccer Central Podcast. Like I said, YouTube, do the like, subscribe thing at MI Soccer Central. Oh, I got to say, we hit 10,000 followers on Instagram. So
amazing.
So to Dan Garnell and all the other contributors and Steve Corcoran. And like I said, all the people, there's more than that, that contribute content and all that. Thank you so much. I mean, 10,000. That's a good
number. That's amazing.
All right. Great, take care, guys. Until next time, we got some good stuff coming up. So keep it locked in. So until next time, everybody, please enjoy your soccer.